So everyone has left the school for the day, but something is still hanging around.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
You know, if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. Call in anytime at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you would like an ad-free version of this show along with advanced episodes, access to our archive, become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts, even try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And Kathy Gordon, I'm Carol, that's Kathy. You teach, hey. You work in schools. You've had some weird things happen in the classroom. I remember this not that long ago.
It wasn't this year, but, and you guys, this is just a regular community college. Don't think much, you know, whatever. But I heard, I teach in an art studio, okay? And we have drawing tables, and they have chairs that are, you know, high chairs because they go with drafting tables, and they roll. They have rollers on them. I was doing some work on a table in the back or something, and I heard a really loud crash. And I looked up to see a chair back out of from under the drafting table and roll across the room. Really? And I have no idea what the loud crash was. Like, it was so loud.
Wasn't there a student in there with you when it happened? And she was like, I'm leaving.
Yeah, she was too. And she was like, what was that? And I just looked at her and I said, I don't know. But the chair, it was, you know, pushed into the drafting table. It backed out and then
crazy. Rolled
across the room. Creepy. I'm telling you, things can happen in schools. They can.
Well, let's check out this story. It says, I work for a school district in Colorado that has been around for years and years. At the time I worked the night shift, typically 3 p.m. to 11:30 p.m., I was alone cleaning the school for most of the time there. I had another worker with me for 3.5 hours, but he was on the other side of the school, and some teachers would stay late, but they were always doing their own things. My first day on the job, my boss tells me, yes, this place has a ghost. I am a big Supernatural fan, so this excited me a lot. He would tell me things about doors opening and closing on their own or hearing footsteps behind me. Didn't take long to have experiences for myself. You never felt alone, even though you know you are the only one in the school. When walking down the halls, you always had to look over your shoulder because you felt like someone was watching or following you. I learned quickly to always have music playing, or you would hear things that you could never explain. One night, I was sitting in my office, which was connected to one long hallway facing north and south, another hallway facing east and west. I was reading a book and didn't realize my music had stopped, and all of a sudden, I heard someone run up the hall, turn the corner, and stop as if they heard me move in the office. Seconds later, run back the way they came. I went to go see if by chance a child had gotten back into the building, but found no evidence of anyone being there, and I knew all exterior doors were locked. After all, it was my job to make sure of this every night. On another occasion, I was once again in my office, and I could hear something being dragged in the hallway. The dragging would go on a couple seconds, then stop, then start again, then stop. When you work alone in a building, you learn the noises the building makes, so you know when something is not right. Other things would happen, like you would see someone walk by the door when you were cleaning a room, but upon investigation, find no one else was there. Or when I was vacuuming hallways, I could always see something poke around the corner, but when I would look up, there would never be anything there. That would be so creepy because you're alone every night in the building. Ooh. Now, I watch ghost hunting shows all the time, so I decided to set my video recorder on my phone up in a different hallway and let it record for about 20 minutes. I never caught anything till I set it up by the main office. I didn't get any visual evidence, but from what seemed like behind the phone, something was throwing tiny pebbles on the floor. You could hear them hit the floor and bounce and roll. The next day, my boss asked me about 10 tiny rocks he found in the lobby area. I no longer work at this school due to a promotion, and the school I am at, I am not alone. I've never felt any spirits in this school, but I did get a visual of a child peeking at me from around a table. I do believe I am somewhat of a clairvoyant, but I am not that strong of one, and it takes me a while to realize that what I saw wasn't what I saw with my eyes, but rather with my head. I have just started listening to you guys for a week. I absolutely love the show. I hope this makes it onto the podcast. And I have many more stories to tell about growing up in a very haunted townhouse. Mm. Until next time, take care. You know, recently I was talking, I don't remember who I was talking with, but we were talking about places that are haunted, and theaters are frequently haunted, and schools, mm-hmm. colleges mm-hmm. are frequently haunted. And I wonder why, mm-hmm. like elementary schools, or this could have been a middle school or a high school, but I wonder why schools would be haunted. You know, there's a lot of activity, there's a lot of kids, but the kids move on and graduate and leave the school. Why would some of them be left behind?
Well, now they do, but now if you think about it, what were some of the days of your life that were the most intense? Right? The happiest, the saddest, because, you know, when we're going through things like high school, middle school, we've got those emotions that are so extreme, right? And everything seems to be just heightened.
I think they're heightened because of hormones.
Well, they are, right? That's what I'm talking about. Like, they are. But I mean, that it's just a super intense period of your life. And maybe that emotion of being that intense and that alive at that time brings people back to it. You know, they come back to that, you know, middle school phase or high school or whatever. I don't know, but it just, when I look back at high school times, it just seems like everything was huge. Everything was a big deal. Everything was so new. Everything was, you know, all this. And I always have to remind myself of my students who are all 18 or 20 that, you know, they're kind of in that same realm. Everything is huge and new. And I wonder if when you pass, if sometimes you go back to those places that were like that for you, very intense, you know.
The last place I would haunt would be a school. I didn't really like school that much. I just didn't like high school. Just know if you're looking for the ghost of Carol Yanka, find her at Colby High School. I'm just telling
right.
you.
Right. But, you know, hospitals are the other one, of course, and for obvious reasons
nursing
would
homes.
Be haunted. When I was on a school board, they had, there had been an old hospital in the town, and they'd built a new one. So there was this old creepy hospital. And of course, you know what they do. They donate it to the school because they're just trying to find something to do with it and saying, you know, you could put classrooms over here. You know, you need more space. So the school took it. And I was on the school board, and we had our school board meetings in this old hospital building, and it was creepy as hell.
Yeah. And it was probably built like 1920.
Like, so it still had a lot of the old equipment in it, you know, and we, you know, occasionally for one reason or another, we'd have to tour it to talk about what to do with it or whatever. And I am not kidding you. It was so frightening. The elevator doors would just open. God, I hated going into that building. It was so intense.
Let's put students here in this building that's falling down.
It's right.
Really an old-timey hospital, but we'll make it work. I do have another story. Okay,
let's go.
This one. We were living in the Arkansas Ozarks. Whenever I look at the word Arkansas, I have to look at it differently because I always have to think about this. Because I am not kidding you, where I live in Wichita, Kansas, we call it the Arkansas River. Now, when it gets out of at Kansas, like when it goes into Oklahoma, they call it the Arkansas River. So whenever I see Arkansas in print, I always want to say Arkansas because that's how we say everybody in my town calls
you
it.
You guys,
Arkansas.
We do. We say Arkansas.
There's a town south of here, Arkansas City. It looks like mm-hmm. Arkansas City, but it's Arkansas City. Nobody says Arkansas.
No. In Kansas, people, it is.
Not in these parts.
Arkansas.
So whenever I look at the word Arkansas, like I have to stop and think, am I saying it correctly for this story? Yes. We do not have Ozarks in Kansas. And if we did, they would be the Arkansas Ozarks.
Well, yeah, they would be the Arkansas Ozarks. But you guys, but where I live, they're actually the start of the Ozarks is over here. So
yeah, you have
anyway,
a
go
bit.
Ahead.
Okay, so we were living in the Arkansas Ozarks. I did that on purpose. My grandmother lived with us for a time. She was very much a night owl. Her bedroom window faced an undeveloped forested area, and she would tell us in the morning of seeing balls of light outside her window. We didn't know what to make of it, of what she said she saw. After some time passed, she moved back to her home in a different state. Weeks and months of time passed. My father had a heart condition, and my parents' bedroom window faced the same direction as the guest bedroom's window where my grandmother had slept. One night my mother woke up and saw a light shining through their window. She raised up and looked outside. At the edge of our property line where the firewood was stacked, she saw two balls of light. One was larger than the other and its light undulated. The smaller ball of light was a steady light. Mother couldn't believe what she was seeing and looked away, then looked back at the firewood. She was concerned but not exactly frightened. The lights were still there and coming a little closer. She looked at my father, wondering if she should wake him since he was truly sleeping very peacefully and deeply at the time. She looked back through the window and noticed the lights moving away from the house to a fair distance away from the house. The next morning, she told Daddy and me about what she had seen. Daddy and I went out to the stacks of firewood to see what evidence we might see of the lights having been caused logically. Nothing. We explored the area in the direction in which the lights moved. There were no residences whose windows would reflect on the light, would reflect light, or even street lights in that area. We were very puzzled. The lights were always seen as a pair, and they revisited every night, moving from a great distance from the house to a position closer to us, but never as close as the first time my mother witnessed them coming, as if they were watching over us and not wanting to be perceived as frightening. The last night that we spent in the house before moving back to my grandmother's home state, we looked for them. They never came. It was as if they were being given confirmation that our move was what was meant to happen. Once we moved to the new town, we found out that Daddy was on the verge of a massive heart attack. We believed that he was being protected until we could move to a place where he could get the best care. What are your thoughts on that one?
I think this one's fascinating.
It almost sounds like UFOs or something.
It does, but it's like balls of energy. That would truly frighten me to look out the window and see that. I would have woken him up.
Oh, my God.
Would have said, somebody
Bob,
else has got to see this.
I'd be like, Bob, you might be sleeping peacefully, but wake up.
It's interesting. She was like unnerved, but not really afraid. It really reminds me of like Close Encounters of the Third Kind or something.
It makes me feel aliens.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it?
And I get kind of freaked out by the thought of aliens. But I always have said, you know, because they talk about anal probes with aliens. And I'm like, if you want to be our friend, go another route. Because you're not going to make any friends on this planet doing that.
Yeah, no, that will never happen. But that is absolutely fascinating. And I would like to hear more stories along this line of these like energy orbs is what I'm kind of thinking, you know, these glowing kind of orbs. But them moving the way they moved made them seem like they were intelligent.
Well, they felt like they were watching them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then do you feel like they thought the dad was on the verge of a massive heart attack and that he was being protected until we moved to a place where he could get better care.
You know, I teach art history, and I think we get caught up in old visions of what spiritual beings look like an angel looks like this, right? And maybe it's not like that at all, right? Maybe they are more like this, just these white lights, you know, like people say when they die, they go to the white light. Maybe these white lights are there as protectors, somewhat like you would think of an angel.
Do you think that it could take different forms for different people?
One time I remember our dad flew, he was a tail gunner on B-52 airplanes, right? And so he said that from his experiences flying, he always said, there's a lot more out there mm-hmm. than people know. He goes, he totally believed that there mm-hmm. were other, mm-hmm. either aliens, spirits, something. But he talked one night about being in the, because he's the tail gunner. He's at the back of this B-52 and he's got glass, you know, around him.
Kind of and like that on the bottom.
He saw these white lights like that. And when she mentioned that, that's exactly where my mind went, was my dad telling me about seeing him while he was flying in a plane at mm-hmm. night. And they were really close, you know, it wasn't like something off in the distance, right? They were really close to his windows.
That would be creepy. That would be yeah. creepy, especially if you're in a little space like that. If you like the show and you want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. Do that through applepodcast.com. Try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.